Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fiddler. Today, we're going to do part two of the mini series, Should You Start a Flower Farm? And actually, in part one, I said that what part two and part three were going to be, but I looked at it and decided to switch around part two and part three because it makes more sense. And I'm the host and I get to do what I want. So this episode today is going to talk about what resources do you have available to get started? And the two resources we're going to talk about are time and money. So actual capital available to invest and or sweat equity, time to, you know, if you have less money, you're going to need more time to put into it to get to that to pay off. Now, if you go back to a couple months ago, I did a three-part mini series, how I would start a flower farm with $100, $1,000, or $10,000. And that's not going to be like, oh, it only costs $100 to start a flower farm. No. That's what it costs to get started. That's how much you have to invest to get started. If you have $1,000 to get started, if you have $10,000 to get started. So go back and listen to those episodes to just kind of help you, you know, get an idea of where things are at. We also did a live Q&A with that one, and we're going to do a live Q&A with this one. So it's going to be on May 6th. It's going to be a webinar. Click on the link in this episode notes to get signed up. You'll enter your email address, and then the Zoom link will be sent to you at the start time. And so I'll be on there. Abby's going to be on there with me. Abby is my podcast producer. She runs multiple businesses. She is a wedding DJ. She has a dog bandana business. She is a podcast producer. She does social media for a couple businesses. So she runs her own business. And so she is the perfect example of, you know, should you turn your hobby into a business? So she's a good person and to also have there as a reference. And let's face it, her radio voice, her voice is better than mine. Like if she could just talk on the podcast, you guys would probably rather listen to her than me, but I'm the one who knows about flowers. So we're going to chit chat. So today's episode, we're going to talk about, you know, what resources do you have available to start? And again, I really want this episode or this mini series to come from a place of curiosity. I want you to be successful with your flower farm. I hope that this mini series, I hope it gives clarity and you can ask yourselves the questions that, you know, before you dive really deep into this. I mean, listen to it with your spouse, listen to it with your partner. They're just as much into this as you are. And, you know, it's sometimes we want to do something and we can do something, but that doesn't mean we should. You know, for a while, I gave an example in the last episode about why I went back to nurse practitioner school. So I used to be really, really big into running in my 20s. I mean, I ran a full marathon. I was training for another one. I've done at least a dozen half marathons. Like I have ran a lot of races. I think I've done 11 states where I've done at least a 10K. I'm getting back into it now. I'm running like 3 miles at a time, but no races on the schedule because if you guys don't know this, my late husband, he actually died while running on the treadmill in 2020. So running for me has kind of taken a backseat, but I'm getting back into it because it's something I love. But in my 20s, I was looking at like doing a side gig of being like a running coach, like teaching people how to do like a couch to 5K. And I actually had a coach that I signed up for to help me train for one of the marathons that I did, and I was set to shave like 40 minutes off of my race time. And then I found out I was pregnant 3 weeks before the marathon. And my doctor was like, well, you can do it. And I'm like, no, there's no way. I'm not going to risk anything. And even though my body is ready for it, if something happened, so I ended up doing the half instead. But I was like, yeah, I should become a running coach. No, I shouldn't. Like, what time do I have available to do that? When am I going to squeeze that in? I'm in grad school. And I think my justification was, well, I'm paying someone else and how do I pay for my hobby? And anyway, it just was not a good fit. And I'm so glad that I didn't do that because I would not be, I mean, I don't know, maybe yeah, I could teach you how to do it, but do I want to turn it into a business? Absolutely not. So I like giving and offering advice, but I'm not going to turn that into a job where it's a career. Like I'll just help my friends out for free and give them advice on running, which I'm not exactly an expert at that anymore, but I'm getting back into it. Anyway, so these questions on, you know, what do you have resources available? So we're going to talk about time. How much time do you have available right now to turn your hobby garden into a business? So if you already have a 9-to-5 job and you have to work that job and you know, very few jobs start at 9 a.m. Let's be honest. Why do we call it 9 to 5? It's 8 to 5, and then you get an unpaid lunch break. Like, there aren't really a lot of 9 to 5 jobs. So 8 to 5. Okay. So you work 8 to 5. You leave your house by 7 a.m. so you can drop the kids off at daycare, and then you get home at 6 p.m. For me, that was why I wanted to start a business. I didn't want my life to fit in the cracks of, you know, 6 to 8 p.m., just that only time with my kids and whatever. I wanted the flexibility. And I'm going to be recording an episode coming up on why I love flower farming and why it's the perfect career for me. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear that one. But how much time do you have right now to devote to starting this business? And what is the flexibility with that time? If you say, well, I work Monday through Friday, I can get up before work and I can do it after work. That is a recipe for burnout. I'm not saying you can't do it. You definitely can, but you're going to have to be really, really intentional about the types of flowers you grow, the timing of things, and, you know, how that's going to look. So I think, you know, if your plan is, well, every single night I'm going to pick the flowers, I'm going to arrange them, and then before I leave for work, I will set flowers out in the farm stand. I did that year one, and I sold, I don't know, $8,000 worth of flowers. No, not quite. Something like that. I mean, we did, you know, how many bouquets in there? No, it wasn't $8,000 worth of flowers because I priced them really shitty. I priced them at $7.50 a piece. They were 15, but buy one, give one for a nursing home. So they were $7.50 per bouquet. Yeah, no. But I sold a total of 400. I sold 200 and then gave away or grew and did 400 from early July through frost, which was that year, I think September 20th or something. But yes, so you can make it work in the cracks around your job, and you know, you can do it on weekends, but that's what it's going to look like. If you're going to start a business, all of your free time is going to be devoted to that. If you already have, you know, from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. is already blocked off. Now you have, you know, look at your calendar and, you know, get a weekly calendar or a monthly calendar that's broke into hours, probably weekly because monthly is going to be hard, and just like color with a black Sharpie the hours that you absolutely will not be able to devote to this business. And then, you know, put in a Sharpie when your kid has T-ball, and put in a Sharpie when you're gone at church, and put in a Sharpie or whatever it might be, those commitments that you already have. And then put in when you're going to sleep, and then look and see how much free time you have and how are you going to start a business around that. There are some flowers that will be really hard to grow if you have not a lot of flexibility. So that's not just how much time. So if you say if you have 20 hours a week to devote to this, that's great. But when do those 20 hours fall? Do they fall from 6 to 10 p.m. every single night? Times 5, so 4 times 5, there's 20 right there. You got 20 hours right there. But is that the right hours? Not necessarily. So some flowers, you know, snapdragons, lisianthus, status, you have a pretty good window of when you can pick them, but sunflowers and tulips and, you know, some of those other cosmos, you have to pick at a certain time, a certain window before they open up very much. Sometimes that's the wee hours in the morning. Strawflower are like the bane of my existence right now, but I love them. And I pick those in the evening. They're the only flowers that I pick in the evening. The rest we do in the morning. And I have a team. I have, you know, employees that are here in the mornings, and they pick buckets and buckets and buckets of flowers every morning. We have a really like strict schedule, like pick these every other day, every single one that's blooming, pick these every day because we need these and the zinnias need to be the day of, and you know, whatever it might be. But the straw flowers I pick because in the morning they are closed tightly shut and you can't pick them in the morning. And so what is your flexibility of your time? Because you're going to have to be really intentional about the types of flowers you grow. I would say right now it's early April and I am seeing people panic and lose money and realize that tulips are not a good fit for them. Tulips are a great fit for me because I love to like batch things up and not worry about them anymore. So starting probably next week, the next 3 weeks for me are going to be consumed with tulips. That's why I'm recording so many podcast episodes right now. I'm not going to record a single thing for about a month unless it's an ad from a sponsor or something that I got to throw in. I'm not going to have time to be doing this stuff because I'm going to be devoted to tulips, because multiple times a day, you got to go out there, you got to pick them as they're blooming, and people are panicking. They're like, oh my gosh, they're blowing open while I'm at work, and I get home and they're completely busted open, and now I can't sell these. And you know, someone invested, you know, when you're first getting started, you know, if you invest hundreds of dollars in some bulbs, or like me, thousands. I mean, I invest about $10,000 into bulbs, and no, I need to sell about 80% of those for sure. I plan on about a 20% loss or 20%, you know, not coming up. Either they don't come up or they bloom wrong and I don't get them in time, but I plan on selling 80% of those at the price I plan on selling them. And it's profitable for me. And I know that, you know, how much time it takes, and I've got the whole system down. I've got the cooler, I've got the hose there ready. And, you know, but you have to have some flexibility with your time to grow certain flowers. Same thing with peonies. I mentioned this in the last episode, but I'm going to be doing a feature on different flowers this summer in helping you decide if it's a good fit for your business. So for example, peonies is the one that I hear all the time. You know, people are like, how much is it worth? How much is it worth? Well, it's not worth anything unless you have someone that's going to buy it. And so you can say peonies are worth $4 a stem, and I'm buying 500 plants, and I'm going to make, you know, $40,000 every year, and boom, that's my retirement plan. Okay, well, who's going to buy these, and who's going to be home? And you have to pick them when they're in the marshmallow stage, and you have to have a big enough cooler to store them, and you have to have customer, like, there's just a lot of things that go into it. So just, I'm excited to really dive deep into all of those different kinds of flowers from a business standpoint. So stay tuned for that. So how much time do you have? What is the flexibility of that time? And then ask yourself before you get started doing this, what is the end goal? And it's okay if you don't know. Trust me. I mean, look at my life. This is not where I thought I was going to be. Everything that I carefully planned out, like, don't take on consumer debt, pay off your student loans, don't have kids before we're ready, like, go to grad school, accelerate in your career, establish this. Like, my late husband, Josh, and I, like, we had everything as you were supposed to. Like, put 15% away for retirement, do this, do that, don't buy a new car. Like, we followed all of the rules, and we built this, you know, perfectly curated life around what you're supposed to do. And then right around the time that it was starting to pay off, like, we were literally consumer debt free. We were paying off our mortgage. We did everything right. Like, we were trying to have a second baby, like, we're saving up to buy this new house. We're going to retire at 50. We had everything so planned. And then he died when I was 31. And here we go. And now the funny part is everything I'm doing now, it all ended up being just making the next right step for me and my daughters as now a solo parent. And I'm not a solo parent anymore. I have Flower Farmer Fiance, who is the wonderful, wonderful daddy on earth to my daughters. And I mean, he helps so much. So to say I'm a single mom, no, I'm not. When we were first dating and he worked out of town a lot, like, yeah, I still felt like a single mom. And there's still a lot of things that fall on me because he's not on, you know, any other records. He doesn't have any legal, whatever, but still. And, you know, but what is your end goal? And it's okay if you don't know it perfectly curated, but you have to have somewhat of an idea before you get started. Are you going to be able to cut back to part-time at work? Are you going to quit your job at work? What does that look like? Do you have a safety net? So, you know, you still need to try to save for retirement. You still need a Roth IRA. You still need insurance. You still need to make these big decisions. You can't just, I'm going to quit my job and be an entrepreneur and figure it out as I go. You got to have that safety net figured out and start planning. You know, make a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, because if you're plan is going to be, I'm going to start a flower farm and it's going to be a farm stand. And for the rest of the next 10 years, I'm going to be gone from 7 to 6 between, you know, dropping off my kids or whatever. And then I'm going to do flowers in the evening, every evening, all summer long for the rest of my life. I don't want that for you. And maybe you do, but that is a recipe for burnout, I feel like. So what is your exit strategy? Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about Smart Label QR labels. It is spring cleaning time, and there's a product called Smart Labels that your future self is going to love you for getting. If you remember back to my episode where I, at the beginning of the year, I tried to get my together with my business for labeling my dahlia tubers and everything, I talked about them for a good length of that episode when I say that this is what I use for my Dahlia tubers. So you buy this Smart Label QR label on Amazon and you stick them on your storage bin. You download the Smart Label app, you scan the QR code, and you catalog everything going into the bin with a name, description, and picture. And then months down the road, when you're looking for that thing that you know you stored somewhere, you can just search in the app and it will tell you where you put it. Seriously, this is like organizing magic. And if you know me at all on a personal level, I need this in my life. So if you are doing some spring cleaning, getting ready for a summer move, or just wanting to get more organized with your flower farmer business, you need to check out Smart Labels. Just do a search on Amazon for Smart Labels. It's one word, and get started with your Smart Label pack today. I do have a link in the episode notes that'll take you right there. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Smart Labels. Now we'll get back to the flower farming content. I don't want anyone working 70 hours a week. If that's how you have to like sustainably pay bills and do it, like try to find something that's going to give you more bang for your buck, because what you're making per hour, if that's how you're looking at it, like that's going to be rough. And I don't want that. We get one life. And you know, so what is the end goal? I firmly believe that you got to hustle for a while. You got to put in the work, but it should be temporary. There needs to be an end goal to it, because it's not a sustainable way to live. And so yes, when you're trying to, you know, pay off debt, or you're trying to build up a savings, or you're trying to, you know, if it's a means to an end and you're picking up extra shifts and you're working overtime, that's fine. It's just, it's not a sustainable way of living. So you either need to adjust your expenses and your lifestyle and whatever, or you need to bring in more revenue. That's just how it goes. And so, I mean, I'm not a huge fan. There's a very famous guy that's always on the radio. I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to get sued, but it's always like, you don't have an income problem, you have a spending problem. And that's probably what's wrong with a lot of America. But anyway, so just figure out like, what is your end goal with this flower farm before you get started? And it's okay if you don't know exactly what that looks like, but try to have a general idea. So resources, we just talked about time. Let's talk about money. If you go back to my three-part mini series of how I would start a flower farm with $100, $1,000, and $10,000. Now, notice it's called start a flower farm with that amount of money. Not how I would run a flower farm, not how I would build a complete turnkey flower farm. It's how I would start, because that is your initial, that dollar amount is your initial investment. And depending on what your end goals are, most businesses are not profitable to the point where they're able to like pay themselves 3 to 5 years. And yeah, you can say, oh, I'll pay myself, you know, this dollar amount, but really, you know, you're going to have to reinvest in equipment, in things that can streamline it, in things that will help you be more productive. Whether it's compost, whether it's, you know, for me, it's my high tunnels that I use for season extension. Right now, I have probably 3,000 tulips that are going to be picked in the next couple days, and then there'll be a little bit of a lull, and then there'll be another 3,000 that'll be picked probably the following week. And I have a huge walk-in cooler. It breaks up all of the work. It breaks up, you know, the storage. It breaks up the picking. It breaks up the customers picking them up. I have one or two stem bar every week. Probably in May, I'll end up opening the farm stand. So all of the high tunnel tulips will be done. And I think there's about 12,000 total. About 5,000 are already spoken for in subscriptions. And about 2,000 are spoken for with private stem bars. So I've got 7,000 already sold, and there's another 5,000 left. And then outside, I have 7,000 tulips that I'm going to do. They're in two of our rows, and they're going to be a U-pick. And that's going to be blooming like that first week of May. So the other stuff will be done then. It takes a lot of money and planning and time to build a business that you can do that with. I already had the cooler because this was the farm, the butcher shop, but it wasn't free. I mean, we bought the farm. So, but you know, you can look at it that way. But just the equipment that it takes to plant all of that, to be able to do it, to be able to harvest it, to be able to pay. I'm going to have some people come, you know, a couple mornings a week to help make the bouquets, take them out of the cooler. Like, it takes money to be able to run the business. And so I had to like buy some of the initial equipment, even to buy those tulips. I mean, I had to pay my bill last fall. It was $11,000. That was my bill to be able to buy them. And so just, it takes you know, it takes money to run a business. And there will be years when you lose money. So I finally have it set up now where in my Peddling Perishable Products course, I have like a really, really detailed, I literally like show my bank account, show my spreadsheets, show them exactly how I do it that makes sense to me. But I pay myself a salary every single 2 weeks. We talk about like revenue goals. We figure out how much that salary needs to be and how many dollars worth of flowers I need to sell in order to pay myself this salary because I know what my profit margins are. And that's gonna be part three of this mini series where we talk about learning about things other than flowers. But I know exactly how many I need to buy, how many I need to sell so that it's not a recipe for burnout. But there are times where I'm gonna lose money. But then I just take a deep breath and you know what? Maybe, you know, and I have it set up that I can eat some losses. And if there's an unexpected year, like, or, you know, if there's a huge loss, like you just don't get paid. The problem with cut flowers, I've met with someone. So my late husband used to work for a company that was part of like the farm credit system, and they did ag loans, ag lending, and they're really on the front. They're kind of a front runner for like crop insurance. And I've met with a couple of them trying to talk about this new cut flower industry and finding ways to get crop insurance because I really, really want to insure my peonies. It's going to be expensive, but I want to do it. And so we're trying to figure out a way to do that. And I think it's going to be honestly so changing for the entire industry. And I'm really proud that I might have a hand in helping get that started, but we'll see. That's still to come. But there are options right now for like a whole revenue policy. So if there was a huge hailstorm that came out, then we would figure out what I make per week and not whole income, not whole gross, but like revenue. So if there's a storm and I'm like, well, that was 3 weeks worth of flowers because some of them come back and whatever, then they would figure out what I would typically make in those 3 weeks. But that's all done based on your taxes, based on what you report. So if you are I'm honestly being honest when I say this now, I report everything because I'm a terrible liar. And if I were ever to be audited, like, so my sales, I mean, I use QuickBooks for everything and people are like, can I pay you with cash? You know, wink, wink. I'm like, no, just buy it on the website because I need to keep track of it because I need to report sales tax. And plus like their name will be lost. It won't be in my system. But if you are going to do a whole revenue policy, it's based on what your sales that you report are. You can't say, well, I typically make this. It's kind of like, you know, when a farmer tries to go get a loan and the bank's like, but you don't make any money. And they're like, well, yeah, I do. But no, you don't make any money on paper, on your taxes. You need to make money. You need the tax man. You know, you want to make the tax man happy. You want to make the bank happy. Like, there's a lot to do with accounting, which I have a whole 70-minute episode on accounting in my Peddling Perishable Products course. But my point is, like, do you have a rainy day fund? So when you're first getting started, you're going to have to, you know, how much money do you have to invest? And the more money you have to invest when you first get started, the quicker you're going to be established into building the business of your dreams. And yes, you can do it. If you listen to that $100 episode that I recorded before, you absolutely can start a flower farm. You can start it small. You can do this, you can do that. But I'm going to be honest, when you look at what is fulfilling, what is fun, are you going to be content with, you know, having to go slow and having to do this and just be realistic of what it's going to look like for you? I had kind of big sales right away in year two, and I was able to go and reinvest in, I have 1,000 peonies that I have spent, I don't know, probably $15 a plant, something like that, wholesale. So let's do that math. 15 times 1,000. Well, no crap. $15,000. Duh. So $15,000 in peonies that I haven't sold a single stem. I haven't recouped that investment. But guess what? Next year, I will make that in sales in year one. But right now, I've just got $15,000 plus another probably $1,000 worth of landscape fabric. Plus, every year we have to weed them. We have to take the hori hori knife to the dandelion roots. We have to, you know, put preen on them, keep an eye out on them, water them so much last year because we were in a drought. Like, I have put so much time and money into this flower that I haven't gotten any money back from. But it's going to be really fun once I get there. And whether it's high tunnels, coolers, you know, having a tractor that's able to do a lot of the physical work for you compared to, you know, being out there by yourself. And being able to hire employees, being able to hire help, being able to, you know, do things the way you want to do it. It just, if you got to wait until you recoup that investment because you don't have a lot of money, it's going to be harder if you don't have a lot of money to invest into it right away. So just keep that in mind. You know, what resources do you have available to start your flower farm? I would love for you to join us on the Q&A, should you start a flower farm? It's going to be on May 6th. And we're going to just talk about, you know, turning your hobby into a business and things you should ask yourself, you know, and this isn't how to, this isn't why to, this isn't, you know, can you? Of course you can. Of course you can. This isn't rocket science, but should you, is this going to fit your lifestyle and what you think it's going to be? So stay tuned. Part three is going to be next week. What is your commitment to learning about things other than flowers? Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.